Golf Smarter number 396, published on August 6, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
More Than a Game, Golf Lifestyle on the Back Nine Network with CEO Jamie Bosworth.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jamie.
Hey, Fred, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for allowing us some time. I know you're a very busy man building up a network here. So let's start from scratch. Tell me, what is the Back Nine Network?
Sure. The Back Nine Network is, and I always try to cut it quick for people, and it's the it's essentially the food network for golfers.
That's quick. Okay. Now take your time.
Well, look, you know, there's a long explanation to it, but, you know, I whenever you try to say that we're going to be the global premier lifestyle golf network, people kind of gloss over all those words. They hear golf and they hear lifestyle and they don't know what it means, but
not this,
you know,
audience.
Yeah, it just kind of, it's too big and kind of too broad, too non-specific. Yeah, and you know what we tell people, and say, well, what are you going to see on your network? And we say, you're going to see a celebration of golf. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of golf and most of the celebration of golf around the world has to do with the individual players, and you know, just the same way, it's your foursome, it's your family, it's your kids. It's you going out with your buddies on a trip, and you know, it's teaching people how to play. It's in the grill room, you know. It's the whole lifestyle around the game, and you know, golf is the only sport in the world that really justifies an entire network dedicated to it. You know, it's much more of a lifestyle. When you say to people, you know, hey, so who are you? Well, I'm a golfer. You know, people don't say, well, you know, I'm a watch enthusiast. They're like, I'm a golfer.
Right.
And, you know, what does that mean? And when you peel back the layers, it really means, you know, first and foremost to us is that, you know, you love the game of golf. And when you kind of pull that back a couple more pages, you know, what does it mean to love the game of golf? Well, it means you have this usually love and appreciation for nature. You have an appreciation for some hard work and diligence, because it's really hard just to even shoot 110 or 115 and just move the ball in a direction's hard. So
you've been watching.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, that's what you always say to people. We're like, you know, the most unrelatable part of golf is what people see on the weekends. And, you know, when I was an assistant pro at Pebble Beach when I started, you know, I kind of had that thought as well, because, you know, I played college golf and I worked real hard, and you hang out with other good players, and you know, your world becomes skewed, and you know, you just figure everybody's going to be good or wants to be good. And you know, you realize, you know, when you go to a wonderful place like Pebble Beach and the whole world kind of comes there, that that people are out there to enjoy themselves. They're out there to celebrate things, and they're out there just to kind of have some fun and recreate. And you know, it's a game that you can play, you know, your whole life, and that most people are just happy, hit a couple good shots, have a couple cold cocktails, tell a couple good lies, and enjoy their day. You know,
well, you have done your research.
it was very time consuming and laborious, all my research.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, but you know, it's funny, you know, cleaning the carts as a kid at all the golf courses, you realize, you know, most people shoot about 110, 115, and they're probably shaving a couple strokes off there, because, you know, 85% of people don't even have handicaps. So, you know, they're not playing stroke and distance. They're not counting all their mulligans. So, you know, you just realize that there's these, you know, millions and millions of people that just love to go out and swing at it. Mm-hmm. And that's what our network's all about.
Fascinating. So when you say that, a celebration of golf, and then you talked about how it's going to be for everybody else, and it's the kind of network that no other sport lends to that. You're talking about the lifestyle segment of it because, you know, MLB, NFL, NHL, they're all going to argue with you that they, you know, there's room for more sports-specific networks.
Sure, of course. Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between a sports-specific network and a lifestyle-driven network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the first things when we were having our conversations with the satellite and cable providers were they're like, okay, I get it. You guys are going to be kind of a competitor to the Golf Channel.
Mm.
And we're like, no, we're not a rights-driven network. You know, we're much more like what you'd see on the Food Network or Cooking Channel or HGTV or A&E. I mean, when people say, do you guys obsess over the Golf Channel? We're like, no, they do a really good job showing live golf. We obsess over, you know, Duck Dynasty, Storage Wars, you know, any of the Housewives show. We obsess over stuff that gets huge ratings, Family Guy. So what we did is we just overlaid, you know, the demographic of golfers, figured out what they were watching on television, and we said, why don't we just give all these people, you know, they consume massive amounts of media and they consume it in a premium fashion. So why not just give them what they want, just a little bit more targeted to them. So if you're going to do a, you know, a housewife show, which most people would think would be counterintuitive to anything in golf, you know, we think it's going to be a huge show because, you know, look, you're getting, you know, the tour wise, which A is interesting because you see behind the scenes, but B, you're going into an entire subcategory that people haven't been invited in, which, you know, which is the female population. When was the last time you saw three women sit down on a couch and say, hey, turn on the Golf Channel?
You know, well, they're not going to do it in front of us. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of laughed and we said, well, obviously women are watching a lot of television. What are they watching? Why don't we just give them something that they want? And we actually did a pilot and we tested it and it did very, very well. And, you know, it's fun. You know, it's, you know, I know some people say, well, why would we want to, you know, scandalize? You know, we're not scandalizing. We're having some fun. And, you know, quite frankly, golf is taking itself way too serious for way too long.
Hear, hear.
And yeah. And, you know, it just needs to be fun. And, you know, you and me, we consider ourselves golfers, but, you know, we kind of peel ourselves away from the real seriousness. And I just don't think that, you know, entertainment programming lends itself to corporate political correctness. I mean, look at all the best shows on television. Right. And so if we were to go down the line and say, well, does, you know, would the PGA Tour love all of our content? No.
No.
Of course they but you know what? We're going to be an enormous on and off ramp for their product. And we're going to grow the audience to their product because I can tell you, watching, you know, the pilots and the shows that I have, Bob Estes has become a lot more interesting based upon his really cool wife. And you know what? Hank Haney's wife is also really cool, and so is Chad Campbell's. And they're doing a great job on this show.
Wow.
And they're really funny. They're really nice. They're really honest. And they're interesting. And so I now have this huge rooting interest for a bunch of people that I've never met, and I've been in the golf business a long time. You know, it just makes it a lot more interesting. So we've always taken that approach that golf needs to be wider. You know, we have a partnership with USA Today. And, you know, when they asked us to cover or help them cover the Masters this year, you know, we didn't call up, you know, friends of ours like Paul Azinger or some of the pros that were playing in the event. We actually asked Cheyenne Woods, Tiger's niece, to go down and cover it. And cover it because she's never been to the Masters before or Augusta, Georgia.
Awesome.
And we just said, you know what? You watched your grandfather, you know, cry and you have a connection to this place and you're now a professional golfer and you've never been here. Why don't you give, you know, the folks that wake up at their hotel room or they're in the airport grabbing a USA Today, why don't you give them your broad perspective on your first experience and let them see it through your eyes? And it was a massive success. So we just try to see, you know, we try to view the network through the eyes of who we think is going to be viewing it. And then we try to create content for those people.
I'm so into this because it's pretty much, well, on a very small scale, but it's what I've been trying to do all along, too, is like, I'm not a PGA professional. I don't claim to be, but I have a lot of questions and the right gear. So I'm able to ask those questions.
Right.
Right. And like the one time that I did cover a PGA Tour event, which we don't talk about that here because it's content on demand and you can get that so many other places.
Right.
But I did go when the President's Cup was in San Francisco a number of years ago. And I went out there with my recorder and I just talked to people. I wasn't doing play by play. I was talking to people who I found interesting and different stories. But the most interesting element of that day for me was when I was sitting in the stands on a par three at the green at a par three. And I would just let the audio tell the story. It's like, you tell me what's going on based on the crowd reaction as these guys putt. And it was so interesting because you can really listen to what's going on and know if the guy made the putt, if he got close to the putt, if he totally missed everything, you know, on his drive. And it was so interesting just because it's a different way of listening or looking at a golf tournament.
Yeah,
and I love that idea.
Well, you know what's funny? Golf is a really tough sport to be a spectator at. You know, unless
in
you're,
person,
it really is
in person. Absolutely,
on TV, it's fantastic. And
yes,
you know, I was talking to one of our financial advisors is a member at Augusta, and he's a great amateur player, and he's got some course records. And I won't mention who it is, but he said, you know what? He said, I don't know whether the Masters this year was all that exciting. Mm-hmm. And he was down there for, you know, the whole week. And he said, you know, he says, you know, when Cabrera knocked it tight on 18 and, you know, went into the finals, Nam Scott made his putt, he goes, it got good from there. He says, but for a long period of time, it just, you know, there was really not a lot going on. And he's like, you know, and I just think about trying to keep people's interest level high. And, you know, how do you pique their interest in today's day and age when you can get all sorts of content on demand anytime you want, specific as you want, like this program that people are listening to? You know, you just can't drag people through, you know, something a little bit slow and laborious. So, you know, when you mention that, I can remember my best times ever at a golf event, and I've been fortunate to have every sort of pass that there is in the world. And
that's,
you know,
another episode. We're going to go into that at another time.
And I think our most favorite experience I've ever had was after 9/11 at Bethpage, where I was with a bunch of firemen, and I had a bunch of friends that I lost in 9/11. And I was with a bunch of firemen, and we decided on 18 to just bet on every single group, longest in the fairway, and then closest to the green. And we just bet on every shot. And it made golf, we had so much fun. It was probably, it started off with five of us betting, putting money in a hat. It ended up with about 50 people, half the stands, and when every shot was exciting, because you were either winning, it was like a big AC-DC game, and you know, I just remember everyone just enjoying themselves in the stands, whether they were betting or not. And we did the same thing last year at the Travelers. And, you know, we had about a group started off about 4 and ended up about 100. And, you know, people just want to feel engaged and they want to have fun and they want to be included. And I think that that's really the primary message of our network, is that, you know, for way too long, the media has positioned golf in one of two ways. It's either what you see a bunch of guys working really diligently and very intense. So no matter how nice a guy you are, I mean, unless you're really Phil Mickelson, who has the ability to be relaxed and look friendly while he's playing in competition, most of these guys they don't look like they're having fun. So, you know, over and over and over again, people get the view of golf as being overly serious. Mm-hmm. And then when you see something on a sitcom or on TV, it's always the parody of the golfer, of usually some rich white guy who's out of touch, who, you know, really is, you know, is just a character of himself. And, you know, knowing the game the way I do and traveling the world, you know, golf is probably the most democratic sport in the world. And you got to teach yourself, you know, there's no shortcuts. And everybody kind of plays by the rules. And I think that, you know, that sort of common denominator lends itself to a lot more inclusion than it does exclusion. And so hopefully when people see, you know, the Back Nine Network on television, where they see us, you know, on our website, back9network.com, wherever they see us, hopefully they'll see that represented in all the programming and in our talent and in the way in which we present ourselves.
I love the concept. When I have been to PGA Tour events, and you'll probably get this, I have a terrible case of FOMO, which is, I have a terrible case of FOMO, which is fear of missing out. So when you, right? So when you're on a golf course, you know, and you're watching professionals play, you know that everything is happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's where, you know, the Frank Trikinian, who, you know, made golf a horse race. He knew that, you know, setting up cameras on a hole, and just kind of keeping them there didn't make golf interesting. And, you know, Frank's protege, Lance Barrow, who does a great job for CBS. I mean, if you look at the coverage of what NBC and the Golf Channel now do, I mean, it's as good as it gets. I mean, they do a great job with graphics. They keep you as entertained as possible.
It is so fast paced.
Yeah, they do a great job. I mean, and
it's good television.
It is good television. But the bigger problem is that we have is golf is only so interesting to so many people watching someone else participate in it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, you know, watching other people participate in golf, you know, is, you know, to a lot of people is very similar to, you know, hearing about someone else's doctor's appointment. You know, your doctor's appointment is real important to you. And that's kind of how people look at their golf games. Their golf games are real important, but somebody else's golf game isn't so important.
Yeah,
and
right.
that's where you see the dollars really are spent. Every other professional sport that has a league, you know, 95% of the spending goes through the teams in the league. You know, NFL, it's TV rights and package, tickets, parking, concessions, and licensing. Okay, those are the buckets. And they all run through the teams in the league. When you look at all the spending in golf, 95% of it is not done through the league at all. It's done through the combatants and the participants, which are all of us. And we go spend money and we vote on where we vote with our credit cards, which is, you know, what golf courses we go to, what trips we take, what second homes we buy, what watches we have, what clothes we wear. You know, all of those things create an enormous, enormous, you know, economic jackpot for the lifestyle and the game of golf.
Yeah, there's obviously a huge hole. And I, you know, it's so interesting to me that, well, this is exactly why I wanted you on the show, because I felt like we were talking to the same people. I've always felt that the Golf Smarter audience are the kind of people that would much rather play on Sunday than watch it on TV.
Yeah, and you know what is funny? I apologize. I will throw out a name here because I just think it's a great. I think it's a great story. I had a friend of mine, you know, a banker from New York, and we were out in Monterey, Pebble Beach, and we were planning a two ball event. And it ended on, I guess it was Saturday. So Sunday, you know, we were left open. We said, well, maybe we'll go up and play a local private course. We'll go up and play Tehama, Clint Eastwood's course. Maybe we'll go play up there.
Nice.
And, you know, Clint Eastwood's one of the founders of Back Nine, and he's one of our early backers. So when
congratulations. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And he's great. And he's been very influential on the design and the concept and kind of our global perspective. So, you know,
and
he's a fabulous guy. He's just one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet and so generous with his time and energy and expertise. And, you know, a lot of celebrities want to get involved with things such as this, and then kind of their interest wanes out. Clint has been the exact opposite. And, you know, we see him every quarter and he's just, I mean, I can tell you when we walked into a restaurant, he actually knew everyone's name just from the website as we were hiring people. And he was introducing, you know, guys were walking. He's like, "Hi, Robert. Thanks for coming on board." So, I mean, literally, he's that kind of guy.
That's awesome. And,
yeah, he's just so back. So
as
back
long as
to
he doesn't
story.
Run for governor, okay? Please.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I know.
I've had enough of that here in California. I don't need him.
No. And do you know what? He was mentioned a long time ago as a potential vice presidential candidate. He told me and thought that was pretty interesting. And no, Clint's actually, you know, we hear a lot about him talking to chairs and things like that. You know, people try to give us a hard time. And I said, you know, if you knew the guy for 5 minutes, you'd realize the only thing he really wants is a strong, safe country that is, you know, filled with people staying out of other people's business. I mean, he's just such a cool guy. And, you know, he's just, you know, an enormous influence on my life and on the network. And, you know, I literally say all the time, you know, politics aside, he's one of the great Americans. And he's just a really cool guy. So back to my story. So it was Sunday of the Ryder Cup. And it was one of the most exciting Ryder Cups ever. And we were at the tap room at Pebble Beach, and my phone rings. And I know who it is based upon it saying blocked, because there's only two people that call me with blocked numbers. So Clint calls me, and he says, "Hey, are you watching the tournament?" And I say, "Yes." And so I'm thinking he's going to say, "Hey, why don't we meet and watch the end of the tournament and hang out and, you know, have a glass of wine and, you know, let's watch." He says, "Are you watching the tournament?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you going to watch the end right now?" And I said, "Well, I don't know why, you know, because just figured might as well." He says, "I feel like going to play golf. You want to go play golf?"
Wow. So it just gave him the bug, right?
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think the people would rather play. I think most people, I think 90%, if not almost 100% of golfers would rather be playing golf than watching somebody else. That's what they would prefer. Now, I think we all get juiced up for the historically significant events, you know, the U.S. Open, the majors, and yeah. You know, I kind of get juiced up for the waste management event. Now, I think that's a cool event.
It's so much fun.
So I'll give you the capper to the story. He said, "Well, it's such a nice day." He says, "There'll be a bunch of people up at his place." He says, "Why don't we go over to Cypress Point and play?" So we went on Ryder Cup day. We went over there and played Cypress Point on a 72-degree sunny day. Oh. And I'm there with a banker. And he just looked at me like, "You've got to be kidding me. Like, now I'm going to spend 18 holes with Clint." And we had a great time. We watched the highlights when we came in. And I said, "So was that any good? Did you enjoy yourself?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was really happy I invested in your company because I thought it was a good idea." He said, "But I don't think there's a better story to the power of the population who loves the game and wants to play and how personal it is than us all walking away from watching the most exciting event and going to play golf."
That's a phenomenal story.
Well,
it's so true.
The capper there started around. The capper was that, you know, we took the red eye home. We both had to work in New York the next day. And I go to drop him off at his apartment around 6:10 so he can change to get back in the office. And he gets out of the cab, struggling with his golf clubs out of the trunk. And right on the bus stop billboard there is "Trouble with the Curve" with Clint's big mug right there at the bus stop. So, you know, he just kind of gave it a knock on the billboard. He's like, "Pretty good day. Thanks, man."
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So cool.
And we're like, "Hey, I wonder who won the Ryder Cup."
Yeah, right. You'll find it. You know, if it's important, it'll find you, right? The news will find you. That's the nature of the internet today and mobile internet, especially. If it's that important, the news is going to find you and you'll be able to get it instantly.
Yeah, no, it's, you know what? And like I said, you know, we're looking forward to being able to create really cool content for, yeah, you know, folks that listen to this show. And, you know what, and I always try to, you know, when we do our meetings now and somebody says, "Well, tell us a little bit," I said, you know, I'd almost really rather not, you know, I'd say I'd rather you just watch. And we just usually show them some videos and say, "And this is where we're starting, and we'll probably end in a different place, but we're dedicated to this group of people and also to growing the game. And so, you know, we know we've got a great group. We've got, I've got, you know, one of the co-founders of E60, ESPN, who's one of our producers here.
Very good.
I've got a bunch of folks from ESPN, and we just have a bunch of really smart folks with, you know, a ton of media credentials. I'm one of the few golf geeks that are here. So,
Reed is a golf geek. I mean, yeah, I know Reed, yeah, Gorman, yeah.
Yeah, Reed is. Reed's a golf geek. He's the only one, but, you know, he and I are tied at the hip. We've worked a lot of jobs together, so.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy.
Yes, he is.
And it's going to lead me to 87 more questions, but I want to take a real quick break, if you don't mind, because this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Now, Audible would like to give the Golf Smarter audience an opportunity to try out their service for free. Get a free audiobook for the first one that you sign up for when you get a new account, and any book that you'd like from their enormous library. And I'm just curious, Jamie, you've been around the world, you've traveled a lot, you've been in sales, you've been in a golf instructor. Have you ever had the opportunity to listen to audiobooks?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of audiobooks, and I was a huge fan of sports talk radio until I got hooked on audiobooks as a sales rep.
Oh, really?
Early on in my career, yeah. You know, there was only so much I could listen about, you know, who the Patriots ought to draft in the first round. And so, you know, I decided
long time listener, first time caller. Shut up.
Yeah, okay, sorry. It's, you know how it goes. And it was very funny because, I guess I probably, did too much socializing in college and I realized that making money was a good thing. So, while I was traveling around New England, you know, selling Odyssey putters, I decided to kind of brush up on probably what I should have learned in college. And I realized that there was some great, you know, business books. And then, you know, you kind of just segued into, hey, you know, I want to read that book. Why don't I just listen to it? And, you know, some of the authors are better than others in terms of reading their own work. And yeah, and some of the actors that they have, I think I listened to Jodie Foster do Contact.
Wow.
And she was great. And, you know, David McCullough, that was probably the last one I listened to, 1776, is phenomenal. I mean, he does a great job with it.
Wow.
And, you know, and talk about a fascinating book that's just so relevant to today. I mean,
really, I love American history books like this, especially audiobooks. It's something about them that just, to me, just goes so deep and can get you in places that you just shake your head going, oh, now I get what's going on here.
Well, my favorite story out of that was when David tells you the story that George Washington was potentially going to be replaced by General Lee until General Lee got captured because he was visiting a lady friend by himself late at night, and they saw his big white horse, and he was our only British trained general, and he was actually the only general that they had a ton of respect for. And because Washington just, you know, lost the Battle of Long Island, lost, you know, snuck out of New York. And they were thinking about and contemplating about replacing him with General Lee. And then once General Lee got absconded, well, they were back to Washington again. So I just think it's fascinating that they tell these stories that they don't teach you in school, that, you know, if it weren't for a guy taking a late night jog out and on his horse, we might have a different picture on our dollar bills.
That's very funny. Well, it's an 11 and a half hour book, audiobook, so it'd be a great first one to try out if you've not tried Audible yet. So if you'd like to use 1776 by David McCullough as your first free audiobook, then go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Thank you for the recommendation. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. That's a good value per minute, huh?
There you go. They're going to love me.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, boy, you know, I don't know whether this is a good endorsement. I think like, we might have given him like a shorter book, like a little 50 page or like Blink or something like that.
No. This is good. They love us. But it's interesting. I rarely get a chance to talk to media types who get the fact that, oh, my God, we just gave them a minute and a half of content and they're not paying very much for this at all. And we're running out of time. I hate the idea that we're running out of time because I have so many more questions. And the first one that comes to mind here is, could the Back Nine Network, and we're wishing you all the success in the world, let's just say it's succeeding, and could it have succeeded without a golf competition TV channel first?
I don't know the answer to that. I always think, the pioneers, always get the arrows. And, I think that Joe Gibbs and Tim Neer and Arnold Palmer and, all of them that everyone thought was crazy. And, they pioneered the Golf Channel, and Peter Kessler, they all did such a great job. And they pioneered the idea that there was a very influential market out there for people that were really interested in golf, and people didn't think it was going to work, and people didn't think ESPN was going to work either. They're about 13 miles away from us up here. So I just think that, everything progresses, and, in all industries, why did Apple work? There were plenty of other computer companies out there. And I just think that there always has to be a new fresh idea. And, hopefully we'll be one of those successful ones. We're really passionate about it. And, anybody that has any interest in checking out some of our early stuff, we're on back9network.com. But, we do hold a lot back because, our value is in our content. So a lot of the shows, we've got 22 shows in development right now.
All original content.
All original content. Wow. And we have the largest fixed video installation wall being used in any studio around the world, being put in our $8.5 million broadcast studio, and we just finished our $3 million digital studio.
So, wow, congratulations!
Thanks. We're down here in downtown Hartford, like I said, about 13 miles from ESPN, and we're part of the renaissance here of downtown. So we were one of the first early companies to sign up, and we're in a beautiful building. It's funny because, being early, I'm looking at my view going down the river, down the Connecticut River, looking over downtown, looking at over the old State House. And, we go to a lot of fancy buildings in New York City, yet we've got a lot better view.
So right now you're just a web portal. You are not a TV cable network yet, or are you?
No,
What's the status there?
We are not. We are... we will be a TV satellite. We always say, satellite and TV portal, very shortly. And we'll also be streaming some live content, in the next 3 weeks. So if you go to back9network.com, you'll be able to see, some live content every morning, that we will be streaming. So,
and is that like a news type of morning talk show type of thing?
Yeah. It's Matt Adams, Fairways for Life.
Oh, great. Good for him.
Yeah. So Maddie will be, I've actually been watching him here on my computer because we set up a TriCaster and some cameras in his house and a studio in his house in Rhode Island and in Florida. And he and Ted Bishop, will be here at the office in about 10 minutes, and they're going to be doing a show here tomorrow from our digital studio. So we'll have Ted here. We'll have Jim Remy here, and, It's a lot of fun. I think it's finally come time that we've got programming, for and about golfers. There are just so many great stories out there, and we just want to tell them. And hopefully we can tell them in an entertaining way that we get some decent ratings and we get some great advertisers, and we're able to just tell stories for a long time.
That's awesome. Well, I apologize to our international audience who, you can get it online. You can definitely get it online right now, but hopefully the cable part will be a huge success and it'll be launched internationally as well. But for those in the United States, keep your eyes open and talk to your local cable provider and make sure that you get the Back Nine Network, right? Is that how you do it?
They do. We're actually going to have a widget pretty soon on our cool. And that's going to be that's going to direct everyone directly to their cable and satellite provider. And we feel really good about a January 1 launch of 14.
2014. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. 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 And I'm just so enamored by this whole idea. I think it's such a great thing. I wish you all the luck, as I've said before. I'm looking forward to original content. Give me a taste, couple more tastes of the types of original content. You talked about The Housewives. You talked about The Morning Show. What other kinds of things are we going to see that's golf lifestyle that aren't necessarily instructional?
Sure. You know, shows like an Anthony Bourdain, it's a travel and destination show, you know, kind of Anthony Bourdain meets Wild On, you know, where we have a couple young, fun talent that goes out there and just, you know, has a lot of adventures and kind of takes you on a little travelogue. So, you know, that's a real fun show. We have an animated series called Of Course that people will get a chance to start seeing via our partnership with Google, YouTube. We'll see that very shortly. So, you know, we'll have animated series, we'll have reality, we'll have a lot of golf content as well. And that's kind of 1/3 of our programming is kind of dedicated to in and around the majors, in and around certain venues. But, you know, you'll see, One of my favorite shows is a show called Ball Hogs, which is kind of like our Duck Dynasty, and it's a crazy family that competes with other families to get the best lakes on golf courses and retrieve the golf balls and trying to make money at it down in Florida. And so, you know, is it really about retrieving golf balls? No, it's always about the characters and the family.
Absolutely.
But, and so, you know, we're definitely, a character and story driven network, but, you know, we'll have, you know, there's just, like I said, we've got so many different shows. There's a Caddy Camp show that is in development right now that looks like a fun show that's about one of the last surviving Caddy Camps out there. And, you know, there's a lot of great shows. There's, you know, the Extreme Home Makeover type shows, and you know, we're trying to tie a lot of the charities into how they change people's lives. And you know, we have a mantra around here: the programming's got to make you think, laugh, or cry. And if it doesn't do that, then we're not doing our job. And hopefully we'll touch on at least two of those at any point in time, and you know, sometimes all three. But you know, that's a little sneak peek. I don't want to give you everything, because you know, there are things like, you know, maybe a Boardwalk Empire set in St. Andrews as well. So we've got a lot of great stuff that we plan on rolling out over the next couple of years.
Well, hopefully you will be able to pitch these to the advertisers. I'm sure that you get people coming to you going, I got an idea for a show. And they're coming to you going, will you produce it? You're going to have to pay for it. But then you have to go back and pitch it to advertisers, I would think, to say, look, this is what we have in development. And it's going to either make you laugh or cry or think. And they're like, yeah, I need more than that.
Yeah. You know, we're usually able to do pretty decent pilots. And thank goodness we've had really smart media investors in our company that have enabled us to create it. Rather than go in there with storyboards, we can actually create the content, show it to people. Because, like I said, it's kind of like, can you tell me what a river is? Yeah, well, it's water and it flows. It's like, I'd rather just show you one.
Yeah, right. Go ahead. Do me a favor. Try to describe a spiral staircase without using your hands.
Right. And I think that that's, you know, I think that people intuitively get that. So, you know, once we were able to create, you know, music is so valuable. Your talent is so valuable. The tempo of the show, the lighting, you know, all the shows are different. And so, you know, you have to take each show as its own little story. And so you create it in that way. And it's a hard thing to explain verbally. So you just kind of have to do it and show it. And, you know, we've been very fortunate that advertisers from not only the golf space, but the entire luxury space have been really excited about the opportunity to reach a larger audience. And quite frankly, the golf space, you know, they think we're going to expand the space for them. I mean, right now, you know, if you get Golf Digest, that probably means you're watching the Golf Channel, which probably means you grab Golf World, which probably means you watch, which, you know, grab Golf Magazine, which probably means that, you know, you watch golf on Saturday and Sunday. But what about the rest of the 80% of the golfers out there that don't do any of those? And, you know, those are the people that are watching reality TV at home. Those are the people that are watching talk shows. Those are the people that are watching, you know, entertainment type programming. And, you know, you got 10.5 million people watched the last episode of Duck Dynasty.
Wow.
And you had, you know, on an average day, which is pretty good, you know, people watching live golf, they 100,000 on a Thursday or Friday.
Huh.
So, you know, we look at it like, you know, this, you know, people who love live golf, they may like our network as well. But we know the group, you know, is much larger that likes entertaining content. And that's what we want to provide. We want to provide entertaining content to the golf lifestyle consumer.
Content is king.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jamie Bosworth, CEO of the Back Nine Network at back9network.com. And hopefully soon in January of 2014, it'll be on your local cable station. Jamie, thanks so much for your time. I'm sorry it's gone on as long as it has, but I need for you to commit to me to come back on the show because I have so many more questions because I'm a media geek.
Sure, Fred. I appreciate it. Hey, next time we'll maybe get some interesting people on rather than the corporate suit.
Oh, no, no. I want to hear your story. We haven't gone back to hear your story about how the heck this kid who's teaching over at Pebble ends up running, you know, the CEO of a media conglomerate. I mean, it blows my mind. I've known too many disc jockeys to think that, to know how impressive this is.
Every morning when I wake up, I kind of think the same thing, and they haven't thrown me out yet. So, but I'm waiting for that day. At some point, they'll realize I'm way over my skis.
Hey, if you're generating revenue, they're going to love you forever.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Oh, man, Jamie, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Fred. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
He was fun. This past weekend was my birthday, and my son took me out to play 18 at the famed Olympic Club in San Francisco. We played the friendly ocean course instead of the legendary lakes course, but still, it was a beautiful challenge, and we had a great time. If you'd like to see some of the pictures from the day, I'll upload them to the blog, but I want to give a shout-out to Ford Shacklett, a longtime Golf Smarter listener and Marshall... Sorry... player's assistant at the Olympic Club. And luckily for my son, we were matched up with another twosome of 20-somethings. And as we're walking off the green at the turn, we all noticed that the marshal was staring at us. So, of course, we were waiting for the inevitable, sir, please pick up your pace lecture. But no! As we're walking off the green, it was Ford who yelled, "Is that Fred Green?" Despite my uh-oh, what did I do wrong look, you can imagine how impressed and proud my son was when Ford asked for some inside podcast update, and the other two guys gave a look and questioned my son with, "What? Podcast? What does your dad do?" So to our two newest listeners, John and Joey the Cat, welcome to Golf Smarter. Great round, guys. That was a lot of fun. Up next for members only, or should I say the hardcores who want more, we'll meet one of the leading triathlon swim coaches, Kevin Koskela. Yes, swim coach. Now, besides walking my dog, walking the golf course, and regular yoga, I've started swimming as my primary exercise to improve my upper body strength and breathing tempo with the thoughts that it will improve my golf. Kevin, who also hosts the Try Swim Coach podcast, wrote an article on golf to improve swimming. So I wrote to him and asked if we can turn it around and see what advantages swimming offers to golf. Interested? Well, you must join Golf Smarter for members only right now at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.